He will. You can take your Bibles and join me in Galatians chapter 5. We are in our series, Walk in the Spirit. Today, I'm going to be sharing a message, the self-controlled life, living a self-controlled life. And so today, before I preach a message from my heart, I want to share a testimony I told you last week I was going to share. A week ago, not this immediate past week, but the week before that, I was looking at my calendar, reviewing. You normally on Sunday afternoon, I try to think about, well, what have I got to do tomorrow? I mean, do I have a meeting first thing in the morning? I didn't want to miss it. So I look at all my events and schedule for that week. And as you know, without elaborating, I've been dealing with illness. And so I looked at that calendar, and I had something every day, all day, into the night, all week, and every day in the weekend. And I was tired. And it started to weigh on my mind. Every one of these events were great events. I'd been looking forward to them. But I was already tired. And then some of it was I had speaking responsibilities, and I had other responsibilities, and I had to prepare for that on top of just what I normally prepare for every week. And I needed an attitude adjustment. And Wednesday came, senior adult prayer meeting, and Wednesday night, and God laid a conviction on my heart about us serving our community and taking stands and getting involved. And man, I just set aside the lesson and just poured my heart out. And it was a unique day of worship for me. It was a unique experience for me. And I sensed God was trying to work in my spirit. And I felt like I got a little life. And then Thursday, Pastor Nick, his staff, our church staff, hosted the statewide worship leader and media leader conference here. Did a great job. I mean, the previous meeting they had was 80. For his event, 160 guys came. Now, these are his peers. These are the people that know him. And when they come to your stuff, what they're saying is, man, we're excited about coming to your event. This, we were hosting it. It was a state event, but we were hosting it. And I had to speak. I had an opportunity to speak at the opening session. And I'm telling you, it ended that night in worship in here. 6 o'clock that night, I came back. And Crescent City praise team from New Orleans Baptist Theological led us. It was just a worship service. It's praise, just like what we do here. I'm telling you, that was one of the most anointed. I needed it. I needed to be around those guys that day. I don't know what I gave them was of great value, but what they gave me and what God gave me through them was worship, the opportunity to worship. Friday, a group of men joined me in going to Grenada. And we went to Dr. Bob Self's Celebration of Life funeral service at Friendship Baptist in Grenada, nice church. And Brother Jeff Henning, Dr. John Daniels, Dr. Bob's personal physician, lifetime personal physician. Friends of the family sang. We sang. It was worship and a powerful testimony of a life well lived. Those guys had been touched by the big heart of Brother Bob. And he made a difference in their walk with Jesus. And we know that. I'm telling you, it was a worship service. On the way back, we worshiped and talked about Brother Bob and the service and Jeff and John. It was a worship experience. It was an all-day deal. Now, they got a free lunch out of it. It wasn't that hard. I was expecting a good day, but I was going to represent you and love on the family. Oh my gosh, the Lord just turned that backwards and said, no, son, sit down. You about to get your socks blessed off, and you need it. And then Saturday, we're up here at 7:30, a group of guys, we went to Better Man Conference. Now, we teach Better Man in our men's life at 5:30, and we've done it for 2 years. New material on men's life, so we're familiar with it. We walked into that Jackson Convention Center, which is a beautiful convention center. First time they'd ever done this in the state of Mississippi. There were 3,000 plus men wanting one thing, to pray and worship and ask God, will you please help us be better men for you? It was packed out wall to wall. We sang and worshiped and four speakers. We didn't leave the room from 8:30 to 4 o'clock. They had a box under every seat, 3,200 boxes of Chick-fil-A. You walked in, sat down, there's a big old box, said Chick-fil-A. I thought, how in the world are we going to eat? Right before lunch, they said, don't leave the building. We're eating right here in your chair. There's water, there's cookie, and there's these crazy little waffle chip looking things in a bag. Right there in the box. All your condiments, and your chicken is being delivered right now at the end of your row, and they brought these big old thermal bags. And they set one down at every row, said, unzip it, take a sandwich, pass it down. And in less than 4 minutes, they had served 3,000 Chick-fil-A hot sandwiches just like that. I don't know how they do it. I went there, couldn't sing a lick. But like I told you last time, God is not interested in the quality of your voice. He's interested in looking for the sincerity of your heart. It's not about how loud or how emotive your personality is, not about how many. Brother Nick was there with his father-in-law. He'll tell you, have I oversold it? Undersold it. One time Nick, I call him Nick at night. That's a side joke. I tease because I admire. So I was speaking one time at 5:30 in the morning, the one time Nick came in the morning before the sun came up. One time, my feet hit the floor, I'm jazzed up, man, I'm ready to go. And I was on coffee, something. So I was over, like I've been here lately, I was that way that morning. He walked out. The best comment I've ever heard of somebody tagging me. All he said, he passed right by me and said, hello, Mr. Big Speech, and walked right by me. I thought, well, that's what I was doing. I had too much cheese on that cracker. Mr. Big Speech. Hey, my point of telling this testimony was this. I started the week tired, with the wrong focus. And God still met me where I was and gave me 4 days of the greatest worship experience I've had in a long time. Now, I worship here. I love worshiping with you. But I'm talking about four unique, different experiences, and it's what I needed. Even though at every one of those events, I thought I was the leader ministering to others. And all I was the worshiper in desperate need of the Father speaking to my heart. And I don't know where you are today, but today's message, I hope you're willing to set aside. The topic of today is a sensitive message to some people. I hope today you will not put me in a category that we often do. We say, well, you are in this category, and I already know what you're going to say. I hope today you will allow me to perhaps speak to your heart on the topic of sin and the fourth category we're facing. Our series has asked us to live in the flesh or walk in the spirit. It's your choice. You get a choice. There's only one real good choice, and that's walk in the spirit and renounce living under the influence of a broken, selfish flesh. We have an option, and Jesus made it possible. Today we're going to be looking at the fourth category of sins listed in this list in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And then we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit, which is the antidote to every one of these sins. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not certainly carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. This last category, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and today's focus, self-control. The law is not against such things. We've reviewed this. The works of the flesh are our works. They lead to death. But the fruit of the Spirit is the work of the Holy Spirit through us. It's not our fruit. It's His fruit that is seen in the life of every believer. It's life-giving. It's joy. And we get a choice. Now, in the series I have preached, we've covered these categories. The first category listed was sexual sins. And it lists them there. What was the antidote? Christ-like love. The fruit of the Spirit is, that's your part. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Very first one. Then it goes to sacrilegious sins. Idolatry, sorcery. The fruit of the Spirit is peace and joy. See how that matches up to that? It's the antidote. Social sins, part one, there's eight of them. We covered five. We'll cover the other ones in 2 weeks. The antidote, by the Holy Spirit, the fruit, patience, kindness, gentleness. That's the answer to the flesh desires of hatred, anger, dissension, factions. What does God say? This is my word. Be gentle. Respond in kindness. Be patient. Today, we're going to look at the category of sins against sober living, sins against sobriety, drunkenness, and carousing. What is the antidote to that? An uncontrolled life is what? The fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Now, we can't do it. It's what's lived out when we follow Christ. He gives us self-control, control over the broken self. So, what he teaches and the Bible teaches, sins against sober living actually enslave. Drunkenness is the first one. It comes from the word which in Greek means wine. It means to be under the influence of intoxicating beverage. The second one, carousing. Probably the best interpretation in this context of the Greek word interpreted carousing here is binge party. It's just a bunch of people getting together, knocking them back till they are intoxicated. They did that in the first century in the Roman Greco world under their religion of gods and idols, and they had a god called the god Bacchus. He was the god of wine. Well, guess how they worshiped the god of wine? Carousing. They all got there and got drunk. A lot of bad things happen in a group where they're all drunk. But that's how they did it. Paul is saying, that's not the Christian lifestyle. That's not it. Living in the flesh is giving something or someone else control of your life. Either you are controlled by the desires of your flesh, or you're under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It's one or the other. There's no neutral place. Well, sometimes I give in a little bit here and get a little tipsy and drunk, but you know, on Sunday I go to church. Make a choice. One characterizes your life and one really doesn't. One is the rule of your life and one is the exception of your life. We make mistakes, but it should be so rare. It should be so in the past. You've been matured out of that. These sins are intoxicating. Now, the word intoxicating has a root word. Do you see it? Toxic. Toxin. If you want the full message of what I preach on what the Bible, there's a sermon years ago I preached. I'm not re-preaching it. Hear my heart. I'm just trying to give you what the Bible teaches. But the word means poison. The alcohol you get from grains and fruit is ethanol. There are a lot of different types of alcohol, but grains and fruit produce ethanol. Ethanol is like gasoline. We mix it. I mean, you get out of the corn and that's ethanol. It's a toxin. Your body recognizes a toxin and sends it from your stomach, will not even put it in your alimentary canal, takes it right to the liver and says, get this out of the body. It is an intoxicant. It's a depressant, actually. It's a chemical depressant. It robs you, just like swindlers and scammers. They promise one thing, it's going to be fun. Everybody's doing it. You'll fit in. If you don't do this, you won't fit in with the group. Come on, you're not a baby, are you? You're a real man by now. Yo, you ain't got to shave. You don't shave at your ass? Well, maybe you don't need to come to the party. Want to belong? And they offer it to you. Hey, it's just a pill. It's just a pill. Everybody takes them. I've been taking them for years. I got this from my mother's cabinet. It's okay. Your designated driver cannot save you from the damning effects of drunkenness. Oh, we'll have somebody haul me into the house. It'll be fine. I'm not getting behind the wheel. Folks, just because Bud Light puts drink responsibly on their beer and on their whatever is not going to save you from the effects of alcohol addiction if you're prone to that. Now, I'm not saying everybody drinks a beer is going to get addicted. Hey, I get it. That's between you and Jesus. That's between you and God. I can't handle chocolate. I can't. We have to keep it out of the house. Literally, when Terry gets, I eat sugar-free chocolates. When when Terry gets the real chocolate, she has to literally hide it. Imagine me on liquor. You think I'm out of control now? It's just chocolate and coffee now. I know. I think I may have had a sip of champagne at a wedding when I was 15. My next door neighbors, a young couple, invited me to go. Her sister was going and she was my age. I had seen her a few times across the yard. I thought, that poor child. She's going to have to go all the way from Savannah to Jacksonville, Florida with her sister and brother-in-law to a wedding. I should go. Now, God had blessed her. There wasn't an ugly bone in that girl's body. And I thought, well, that helps too. That'll pass the time of day. So we drive down there, and they do the toast. I'm a Baptist kid. I had never been to a thing like that. Never in my life. We didn't drink in our house. Mom and Dad didn't. They never preached about it. We just didn't do it. So I wasn't around. And they gave me this pretty little glass. Kind of odd-shaped glass. I thought, you can't put much tea in that thing. Well, it wasn't. It was probably champagne. That, as far as I know, is the only alcohol I've ever drunk in my entire life. I'm not telling you that to brag on or something like that. I'm just saying, this is where I come from. This is my background. But the next slide's going to surprise you. I'm going to try to tell you, what is the real? The next two slides. This one is the first one. The next slide, you're going to say, okay, he's being fair about what the Bible says. He's not just some stick-deaf Baptist preacher. I'm going to try to be honest with you about what does the Bible say about it. But God gives us two boundaries in alcohol. Number one, legal boundaries, okay? They're called the laws of the state of Mississippi. Do you know what the drinking age? Anybody know what the drinking age is to drink any kind of alcohol in Mississippi? Is it 18? Raise your hand if you think it's 18. Anybody? Okay. If it's 19, anybody says 19, you can drink any kind of alcohol if you're 19. No? How about 20? No? How about 21? Yeah, everybody knows. It's 21. But there are caveats. A parent or legal guardian can give a beer to their child if they are between 18 and 21 in the state of Mississippi. Here's a caveat. You have to be present there in their presence when they drink the beer. And it can't be anything but beer. Nothing else. They can't have a shot of whiskey. You can't give it to them. Only a beer. And you have to be present. And they can't get drunk. The only other exception to that is what? If you are in the U.S. military, you can drink a beer if you're older than 18 on the base where they allow you to do it, but only a beer if you are actually signed up and serve in the military. But that's it. If you are below 18, you cannot drink anything. No alcoholic beverages are legal for a minor below 18. And no one can give it to them. Not a parent. Did you know that? You say, well, I think it's better if they drink with me. Not in the state of Mississippi. You just broke the law. Your best friend can't give them a drink. Their older brother, who lets their younger brother have his driver's license to go buy it at the convenience store, cannot do that legally and give it to a child that hasn't had an 18th birthday in the state of Mississippi. Nothing, and no one can do it. And you say, well, we do it all the time. That's between you and God and the judge. If you get caught, you've broken the law. It'll go on your record. If it's no big deal to you, then that's between you and God. But just know, God gives us legal boundaries. The second one is, he gives us spiritual boundaries. It's called the Holy Bible. Now here's where you're going to say, I can't believe the preacher said that. The people drank wine in the Bible. But it was diluted wine. Four parts to one part was the common way they drank it. They didn't drink it straight. It's not like they had wine stores all over Israel. They drank it diluted. Wine, at the most, the highest percentage is 8%. That's the most, and that's the very best. So if you dilute it by 4 point, it takes it what? Down below 2%. Well, that's half of what a beer is. That's how they drank it, but even then, they did it at special occasions. They did it for different purposes. But guess what? They also did it in normal, everyday meals. It was drunk. You say, well, Pastor, how about liquor? Anybody know why the Bible has no mention of what we call distilled spirits or liquor? Did they exist in Bible times? No. When the Bible says, don't have a strong drink, you know what that means? Undiluted wine. When it's red in the glass, the old proverb. All it's saying is, man, that's pretty stout stuff, undiluted. Be very careful. Avoid that strong drink. There was no liquor. You know, it would take 1,200 years later, and of all places, Italy, to, who would know? Those Italians. They invented distillation of alcohol. It took not 12 years, 1,200 years after the time of Jesus. So when the Bible talks about wine, they did drink wine. Jesus turned the water not into grape juice. I know you've heard the Baptist preacher spend 3 hours to try to prove it was great. It was not. New wine is intoxicating wine. It was wine. But the leaders of people who are in charge, rulers and kings, according to Proverbs 31, are told, abstain. Do not drink it. Why? Because you have been put in a place of authority over people. And if you are not controlled, guess what happens to the people and the nation and your group? So that's why at our church, our pastors, if you are an ordained pastor here, you cannot drink. And that's never been a problem with any of our people there. We take Proverbs 31 seriously. If I start getting drunk, what's that going to do to the testimony of First Baptist Church Brookhaven? And can I tell you something? Knowing me, that's why I stay away from it. And plus, I found out the drink of champions. Did I tell you that? Sweet iced tea with a squeeze of lemon. That is the drink of champions. You can't get better than that. Now, when you get older, it has to be stevia or, you know, the yellow boy. But in the old days, it was the good stuff. That's the drink of champions. But alcohol is used for medicine, for chronic illness, relieving pain for the dying. But when you are fair and look at what the Bible teaches about alcohol overall, and again, it was at the most potent, it was wine. They had beer. That's at 4%. Wine is as much as 8%. So the real stiff stuff, when you look at it, not the verses that say, and they drank wine. I'm talking about when it's, the topic is alcohol, wine. How do you drink it? How do you deal with it? How should you relate to it? If you look at the scriptures on your own, just do your own Bible study. What you will be, a fair assessment is, the overarching theme is what? Be careful. It is dangerous. Watch out. And here's the boundary for all of us. Whether you drink wine with your steak for a meal every now and then, or you like a beer after you cut the grass on Saturday, and you don't have any problem with alcohol. You've never abused it, but know this, what we can all agree on, and it is clear cut. No Christian should ever be under the influence of alcohol. You are never allowed to be drunk. Don't even get there. And if you've ever had a problem with it, stop. Join the likes of people like me who know I am not handling this in my body right, and I know it. Just stop. Go directly to Broma's and get you a drink of champions, and you'll be fine. And also, obviously, it may help not to have binge parties at your house. That's not a Christian thing. He says, don't do it. Now, there is a famous SEC school just to the west of us I was going to mention as an illustration of binge partying. But I don't want to offend friends who love those Tigers. So I'm not going to mention them as an illustration. Boy, those Saturday night late games are something over there. So, okay, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I was bad. I'm sorry. Now, God gives us the Holy Spirit to bless us. Here's the best part, the antidote. You know what the antidote is? The gift of self-control. Literally the word in kratos, in, who can't figure that out? In kratos is dominion, power, control, mastery. Your master. What you're saying is, when the Holy Spirit is guiding and influencing your life, you are in control of the fleshly urges because you are being led by the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't need all that stuff. You don't need to be drunk. You don't need to escape from reality. You don't need to say, man, these pressures of life are too much. You don't need that. You got Jesus. You go to the Holy Spirit. You go to Jesus with those problems, and He actually solves the problems. You know what the flesh does? It adds more problems. It's a scammer. It's promising you one thing, but it's robbing you and your bank account at nighttime. The contrast is lit the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not willpower. I don't have more willpower than you have. In fact, you may have more willpower than I do in many areas. The secret is it's spirit power working in you. You just yield to it. You make a conscious decision. I can't do this, Lord, but you can. Holy Spirit control restrains the negative impulses of the self, and then self-discipline acts on the right proper decisions. They're two sides of the same coin. So Holy Spirit control says, I can resist that in the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? So, Pastor, land this plane and tell me how we can do this. Luke chapter 9 tells us from the very words of Jesus. He says, when you're coming to follow me, if you're going to come after me and follow me, that is, you're going to leave the life of the flesh and you're going to yield and start walking under the influence of the Holy Spirit, I want you to do this. Number one, you got to deny yourself. You got to deny it. Don't domesticate the flesh. You can't domesticate a rattlesnake. Well, I got a new pet, darling. I know we got a dog and a cat, but I thought we needed one more pet. Well, what did you get us, a hamster? No, I got us a rattlesnake. Now, we're going to have to do a little training, but I think it'll be fine. You cannot domesticate the flesh. The Bible says, kill it. If you want control over it, it has to die. Second, you got to take up your cross. Jesus did. You know what the cross represents? The cross represents an intersection between your will on the horizontal, this is what I want, and right in the middle, God says, boom, God's will. Right at that intersection is where you've got to make a decision, which will you follow, yours or His? That's what the cross is. It's the symbol of your yielding to God's will. That's what Jesus did when He took up His cross, which was really our cross. He said, not my will. Is there any way you can do this, save the world without us going through this? But if not, thy will be done. And He chose the will of God and He took up the cross. Your chronic sinus problems is not a cross. That's not your cross. Well, I've had to bear my cross. No, you need Mucinex. This is not the cross. The cross is you yielding to the will of God daily. Take up the cross daily, Matthew's version says. And then finally, if you want the life of self-control by the power of the Holy Spirit, once you deny self, take up the cross, I will follow you, Lord, then do it. Do it. Act on it. Follow Him. Be kind. Share your testimony. Be here on Sunday encouraging and praising and worshiping. Teach a Sunday school class. Teach a missions kid. Go with the youth on a mission trip. Act on it. Love your wife as Christ loves you. Wife, love your husband the way the church loves the Lord Jesus. Children, honor your father and mother. That's following Christ and doing it. And then you realize, I have killed the flesh and I'm enjoying the fruit of the Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit. The cries of that old rotten flesh just fade away. Let me talk to you about where I live. You say, Pastor, this don't, you just preaching at us. You don't even drink alcohol. How do you know? You got a point. I've told you why I don't do it. That's between me and Jesus. That's our conviction. But can I tell you something I had to give up about 4 or 5 months ago? All social media. I've been on it trying to use it for good, trying to only use it for good. The designers of social media are smarter than I am. And they know how to appeal to my stinking, rotten flesh that keeps wanting to crawl off that cross after I've crucified in Jesus' name. It keeps wanting to crawl off. And what I found out, you know what I found out? It was tearing me up in my spirit and my attitude about my fellow man. I was seeing everybody in us, them. I was getting upset. People criticize our local businesses. I don't like people criticizing people who are working hard, investing their money, trying to bring something to you and serve you so you don't have to cook or you don't have to change your own oil, and somebody forgets the ranch sauce and they just blast them in Jesus' name. And I was reading that mess and I said, it was killing my spirit. I had a bad attitude. I'm telling you, I'm prone to having bad attitudes. Not often, but it happens. And God said, I tell you what, hotshot, what you're trying to do for good pales in how much damage you're doing to yourself. You preach on Sunday, that'll just have to be enough. You preach on Wednesday night, that'll have to be enough. You teach at Men's Life, share what God's doing in your life there. And I got off of it. I've been off of it 5 months. Can I tell you right now? I may go back and look at, I was Facebook, Twitter kind of guy. Instagram, it's too soft for me, man. I'm a Facebook guy. I'm a Twitter guy. It may most likely be, I know my flesh, I'm going to put this out there. Now, I may at some time go back. You may say, well, Pastor's back on social media. I may. God may let me do that. And I say, let me do it. He'd have to let me do it. But can I tell you, as good as I feel right now, I may never go back on that trash. I have got so much freedom when I got away from it. Now, there are people who do not struggle with that like I did. If you're like, what's he talking about? I get to see my grandchildren's pictures just the same. I do. I don't need it. But there's so much junk on it, I was not doing well with it. I was not in control. It was in control. Wasting time. Some of it is just wasting time. I don't have time to waste. You don't either, by the way. So, news, pornography, money, gambling, illicit sex, pride. You can be drunk on all of these things. It's not just alcohol. We Baptist preachers love to talk about alcohol. I want to tell you something. You can be under the influence of all these things, and no, it won't rob you of your salvation. That's God's work. He started it. You received it. You're trying to follow Him, but it can rob you of the joy He saved you to have. It'll suck the joy of life out of you and waste your life. You got that many more days, and they're numbered. There's a number out there, and that's it. What will you do for Jesus? Now, let me tell you why I asked Mike Smith to pray and why I asked Melanie to sing, and specifically the song she sang. Do you remember what she sang? If you're struggling today, I had her sing that song for me and for you. Because the devil will overwhelm you and say, there is no hope in Israel. There is no way out. You've tried and you failed again. And you will start believing the lie. And I wanted you to hear the one thing today. If you are struggling and you are hurting and whatever it is that is controlling your life and you want to be free, God will make a way. And you say, Pastor, how do you know? You preachers say that. Now, you claim all these things, but I'm still struggling. How do you know God will make a way? Here's why. Because He already has. 2,000 years ago, He defeated what you're facing. He killed it dead. And then He rose from the grave and spit in its face. The second reason I know, not only He made a way, He is the way. Jesus actually is the way for you to have a self-controlled life and live in the fruit of the Spirit. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our mighty God, I come, and I ask that today You would do Your holy work in our life. Someone is hurting today and needs to pray. Other people today they're being tempted to give away their freedom in Christ to be accepted by a group. To try to take a shortcut with the stress of life and just zone out for a little while. Lord, I pray today You would give them the strength to say no to that and yes, not no only, but no and yes. Yes, I will worship Jesus. My heart will be filled with gratitude for what He's doing. He will make a way because He is my way. If today you've never taken your stand for Jesus Christ and said, Lord, the Lord Jesus saved my life. He saved my life. He's my Lord and Savior. And I'm standing today to make a public declaration. I will follow Him. I will follow Him. Today's your day. You come as we sing. Somebody needs a church home. Somebody else, God's calling to ministry. Somebody else is dealing with something in their family, and it just says, the devil's tried to say it's impossible. It's impossible. All the professional counselors have said, it's over. Just go ahead and do the best you can. I don't believe that, Lord. I don't believe it. If You could raise the dead son, if You can heal my old selfish heart and make me desire to love You, You can put the pieces back together in a brand new way, make a brand new creation out of it. And I pray, God, somebody today, whether it's publicly or privately, will say, God, I'm going to trust you one more time. I believe you can make a way. I will not do what I was going to do. I am going to seek you. Help me, Jesus. Today's your day. Jesus, be glorified. Amen.